Real quick, YouTube folks, before you think something's wrong with what you're looking at, there's nothing wrong. I have chosen to begin posting my podcast episodes to YouTube again, but unfortunately, the process of filming like 2 hours of my tank and then uploading that HD video and marrying it to the sound and all of that, at this point in my life, I can't take it on. So unfortunately, you won't be able to watch my tank like in the past while I do the podcast. I know some of you really like that, so I apologize. But going forward, I'm just gonna, you know, if it's the content itself, that's more valuable to you than enjoying the tranquility of watching a reef tank for a couple hours, I hope you keep following along. At some point, you know, when my life is in a different place, I'll start marrying video of my tank to the audio of the podcast again for YouTube. For the record, YouTube folks, there's a whole bunch of podcast episodes that have happened since the last time I posted on YouTube, and they are all located on like every podcast app. So I've been putting out episodes every month or two. They're just on like podcast apps and not YouTube, but we're restarting with YouTube again from this point. So, yeah, there you go. If you want to go back and listen to episodes, feel free. Anyhow, how's it going, folks? How was your Christmas break? I hope that it was as good as mine was. I was so much more in need of that break than I originally anticipated going into it. I felt like I was in a pretty good spot going into break, and then like a week into break, it was like, oh man, like I really needed it this time around. I really needed to, you know, have some time to just settle out and take stock of things and relax and reset. And I feel so much more energized now that, you know, life is starting back up on all fronts. Way better than I did last year. I think part of that, if you guys followed episodes closely, part of it was so difficult this year for me teaching wise. Like I just, my crop of students this year required my attention in ways that no other crop of students has ever, you know, has ever presented. And so I took it upon myself to rise to meet that challenge in every way that I possibly could. And because I was kind of caught off guard by that and scrambling to, you know, provide the services that my students needed from me, it did drain me quite a bit this last for fall semester. So through the fall, that's why there weren't as many podcast episodes. That's why my videos were not as regular. I'm not sure what spring is going to hold. I've thought through a whole lot about how I want to go about teaching differently, given the different challenges that are being presented to me by this group of students that has come in. But I'm hoping I am better prepared to head off some of the difficulties that I faced last semester. And so hopefully that will free up more time for me to, in my spare time, produce reef content. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But this week, this week for the podcast, I sort of just want to ease back into generating the podcast by exploring a topic that I think is critically important and critically under-discussed, which is, and it probably depends on your circle. If you operate in my circle of reef keeping, you might think this topic gets covered a lot, but I feel like, you know, people's dominant circle might not be the same as mine. And if it's a different circle within this hobby, this might be some content that, you know, you really enjoy hearing about. But I want to talk about gear that presents a significantly good value for what it is. And I've picked out 10 gear items. Everybody does those, you know, year-end top 10 lists, you know. A lot of influencers and companies and media entities, they do the at the end of a year, they're like, here's the top 10 gear items that we liked this year or that came out this year or whatever. And instead of doing like, you know, maybe in another episode, I'll do my personal top 10. But this is not a top 10 list in the way that it usually is for other entities. What I want to do is, what are the 10 best, like hardcore good value products that I have encountered in my 6 years of reef keeping, of serious reef keeping. So, yeah, we're going to dive into that today for sure. I just want to say also, before we get rolling into this, before we get rolling into the list itself, I had posted something on Instagram at the on the last day of 2024. And what I posted was my personal 2025, like, broad spectrum goals for my tiny little platform that I've been building for the last couple years. So my goals, just so you guys are aware, for 2025, my goals are increasing access to the hobby, spotlighting affordability wherever I possibly can, and providing alternative options to the generally accepted, like, prescriptive, you must hit XYZ items on this checklist in order to be a good reefer kind of, you know, constant thrust that we feel from so many sectors of the hobby. So that's my overarching, like, when I'm looking to where I want to take my content week to week, month to month throughout 2025, that's kind of going to be my North Star, is that three-part system of goals right there. So you can expect a lot more content coming from me that is focused on ways to increase access to this hobby. And that could be from explaining and teaching various parts of the hobby that I feel comfortable talking about. Like, such as, you know, dosing stuff, like alkalinity, calcium, magnesium. I'm going to get back into some basic content that, you know, newer reef keepers might really find valuable. Also, I'm going to be looking at those alternative, more value for your dollar, or just purely more affordable products that allow us to do what we love, which is keep a reef tank in our living rooms or dining rooms or wherever. I'm going to get into even more of that than I already do. I feel like my platform has really drifted up that lane for quite a while, and now I'm just like, you know what? We're far enough up this road that this is it. This is the road I'm going to take. So you can expect that to be the direction, for the record. So, but let's get into this list. So I've been thinking about this list for, you know, last 2-3 days. Now, there's definitely going to be some stuff on this list that you who follow this platform pretty closely are not going to be surprised at. I tried to, like, front load that stuff, like, you know, things you guys would expect me to list. I tried to put that up near the front so I can blather about that. And a lot of you guys align with me on these products. So, you know, you'll enjoy hearing about them, because we have, you know, because we're fans of the products that we have come to trust and know and like. And it's that way for people in our circle, and it's that way for people in other circles too. I'm trying to be a bit more understanding of the fans of other circles, the product fanhoods that exist in other circles. I'm trying to look at, like, fanhood. It's probably the wrong word. It's probably a better word that I could choose. But, like, loyalty to a product line or a company or a particular product. I'm trying to look at that loyalty with a more discerning eye when it comes to the actual people who, like, you know, stand and defend certain products. I'm also trying to look at the entities behind those products with a more critical eye than before, and kind of look at how they build their followings, like what is the method through which they build the loyalty of so many people that these people would stand and defend them, right? I'm trying to analyze that more this year and get a better bead on a lot of different entities in the hobby, because that the psychological like gamesmanship that goes on in the reef keeping industry is really interesting to me. And it's become clear to me that there are a lot of entities out there in the industry, on the industry side, that are really, really, really good at this, like this psychological gamesmanship. And there are social and psychological games that are being played at a high level, both by like, you know, organized entities within entities, or by agents that are out there free floating around certain entities that could be tapped and utilized. So I'm looking very closely at the connective tissues and threads out there this year. But these first couple products that I'm going to talk about, these are two products that I have become loyal to the products themselves here. And they're two that I talk about all the time. So the first, and I won't tell you the second till we get into it, but the first is EcoFlow battery backups. Shocker, right? Kalamazoo Reef for talking about EcoFlow? No way. So yeah, my first on the list, and again, I told you, it'd be expected, is EcoFlow. And I have become kind of an EcoFlow zealot. I'm not afraid to admit that at this point. I have 3 EcoFlow units now. So I've got the River 2 base model, I've got the River 2 Max model, and then I have the Delta 2 base model. So I probably should have pulled stats before I got on here. I don't know if you guys enjoy hearing like a bunch of stats read. I typically just kind of sit down and like do these things. Like the most prep I have is like a scribbled list in front of me right now. So let's see. I had a Wavemaker connected to my River 2 base on my main tank. And I'm trying to remember, I think that I was getting like 10 or 12 hours or something like that on a single Wavemaker. I may have had it connected to a Nero 5, I want to say. Maybe it was a little Ceche that I put in there up near the water surface to keep surface agitation going. But I was like, all right, you know, from here, I want to be able to run my return pump, because if there is a long power outage, one, I want more than 10 to 12 hours of battery life if I can. But I also want to be able to keep my sump moving so that everything doesn't stagnate down there and then go firing into the tank when things come back on. So then I upgraded to the EcoFlow River 2 Max, and that was giving me whatever, this is off the top of my head. I have videos out on all this. Like 12 to 14 hours on my return pump, I think. I have a Neptune Core 15 return pump. And that therefore would allow me to keep my sump moving, which was awesome. And then I was like, it's still like, I want more time. And so then I upgraded. I got it on a great sale. I got a brand new EcoFlow Delta 2. And that thing gives me 27 hours of runtime on my Neptune Core 15 return pump. So I am keeping the whole system moving for 27 hours in the event of a power outage. And I live in the deep south, so like tornadoes do happen. If there was a significant outage that took crews hours to get to and repair and start getting, you know, power sent back out to individual neighborhoods and stuff like that, I feel pretty good about that. Long term, what I'm looking at now is a generator. So I also have a couple of EcoFlow solar panels that are just waiting in the wings. I do not have wife approval to put that on my roof yet, We're looking at the, you know, what all that entails and what all entities around here could come help with the installation of that and do it professionally. By the way, I should never trust myself doing something like that. And she certainly was like, you are not going to be able to do that properly. And she's ultimately right there. So that's at some point in the future, solar is going to come into play. But I got a couple of their EcoFlow official solar panels on another great fire sale that they had on eBay. And I'm curious about, and I'm gonna tap some folks that I respect in the hobby with regards to disaster mitigation and have them weigh in on the EcoFlow. They have a generator. So they have a dual fuel, propane and gasoline, I believe, generator that's like an auto switch on generator that you can put in like one of those plastic sheds that you buy from Lowe's to like keep your garden rakes in and just shove up against the wall of your house. This EcoFlow generator is designed to like be set in one of those and connected to a propane tank, and then there's a trigger that will activate it if the power goes out to your house and your backup battery calls for recharge. So like basically I could have the Delta 2 deplete, and when it depletes to a certain level, signal the generator to kick on and begin powering its recharge so that the Delta 2 would recharge. That is pretty compelling to me. So I'm starting to get curious about that. But for now, a 27-hour battery backup for my return pump, no less, I'm pretty happy. My goal for disaster mitigation for 2024 was to improve past a really cheap like $99 computer UPS that I had hooked up to a 5-watt return pump or a 5-watt wave maker. And I think that I absolutely like blew the goal of just let's improve on this. I think I blew that goal out of the water. So I'm pretty happy with where I am right now and looking toward the future. But I like EcoFlow because it is an all-in-one power station that looks good. They're not crazy heavy. They're not like cumbersome. They have a nice readout screen on the front. They have all kinds of ports and capabilities. You can recharge these things from your car. It's lithium iron phosphate battery instead of lead acid. So you get like 8 to 10 years of consistent cycling out of it before it begins to significantly deplete. It has a sweet app that you can control it with via Bluetooth or Wi-Fi so that you can check in on your devices and, you know, program them to run certain ways. And I mean, it has all kinds of capabilities. So what I like as a reef keeper and what I try to like push on my channel, it's interesting. I talk about my circle of people in reef keeping. My circle of people in reef keeping includes a lot of guys that I look at and I'm like, I wish that I had the capabilities that you have and the confidence that you have with like electrical or with like, you know, parsing out math for chemistry and stuff like that. I don't have that knowledge set. And I'm like, even when I start to attain bits of that knowledge, I'm very unsure of myself because it is so far outside the realm of my comfort zone. Those are not my like areas of expertise or talent. So where they go, you know, I can save 19 cents a cup if I go with this supplement from this random Amazon seller and mix it into my own, you know, solution. I look at that and go, yeah, I'm sure that you're right, but I have no faith that I could do that properly. So I'm going to go with like a program that, yes, has a little fishy on the bottle and is going to have a reef tax on it. But I know that the program is designed to be parsed out by a normal person, right? And then I look at those programs and I don't just jump at the first one that I see. I look at all those like, you know, all-in-one programs or all-in-one, you know, products that have all the little things that are going to, you know, be all-encompassed and take care of you. I look at them all and I go, okay, like what's the ownership of this company? What's their track record? you know, who's influencing for them out there in the broader hobby. How are they playing the game? Where does the price stack up against everybody else? I have this whole checklist of, like, I basically vet my options. Like, how do I want, you know, what is deserving of my dollars? Since I'm going to go with typically like an actual player either in the industry or industry adjacent, I want to go with, you know, somebody who's offering tremendous value and does not have like some stake in the game, or like this, they have a stake in the game and the position that they have carved out for themselves is honorable and the price is fair. Like, I'm very cognizant of where I am going to send dollars. So when it comes to backup battery, it's common knowledge among people who pay attention. There is nothing currently offered by any of the companies in the actual reef keeping industry that is good value for battery backup. It just doesn't exist because most of it is, like, if not all of it, is just lead acid. And it's all hyper simplistic, like way less than you should be getting for the dollars you are spending. With the capability set of EcoFlow and the lithium iron phosphate inside of it, I am confident that every dollar you are spending on an EcoFlow device is money well spent. So, best value reef products, number one. And by the way, these are in no particular order, but entry number one, there you go. EcoFlow backup batteries. Highly recommend. I have a ton of videos out on them. Jim Telegram has covered them extensively. So if you're looking for more information, it's out there. They are tremendous. All right, number two on my list of 10 will again shock you. The JCOD DMP, which is well-deserved. Well-deserved. I also am combining into this category, just to kind of condense things, the JCOD DLW. So the JCOD DMP, again, at my most recent gear product that I have done, you know, extensive coverage on, I bought at least like 9 of these things. I have so many of them, and I have had every single one of them work pretty much flawlessly, with the notable exception of the DMP10. Required, which is the smallest iteration of this pump, requiring a little bit of like manipulating the cage so that it's exactly lined up. But after getting it exactly lined up, they're extremely quiet, as are the DMP20s that I have on my main system, and the 30s. And the 40 that I run on the far end of my peninsula away from the overflow box. Can't say enough good things about my experience with them. They have been, the magnets are strong in these things. They're quiet. They are easy to clean, just as easy as a Vortec to pull the wet side out and scrub it down and clean it and pop it back into place. The app is totally workable, totally programmable, just like pretty much every app in the reef industry. Not super impressive. It's funny. The EcoFlow app to me is extremely impressive. Now, EcoFlow is a huge company. They do extensive backup power, you know, product lines and sell all over the world. And so it doesn't surprise me. I think actually, given the size of Jibao and the way that they similarly sell all over the world, now, I would assume Jibao is a much smaller company than EcoFlow. Excuse me, I had to grab a sip of coffee there. I would assume that Jibao is smaller than EcoFlow, but in the aquarium industry, the worldwide aquarium industry, I would think that they're one of the bigger players. So I actually am a little harder on them about their app than I would be, like, you know, I'm pretty hard on Ecotech Marine for Mobius. and on Aperture for Mobius. But I have to, like, you know, as an individual, like, entity player within the aquarium industry, I have to think that Jabao sells so many units all over the world that they have to have the capital to invest in making their app a little more polished. It is completely functional in every way. It just needs some polish. So I would like that to be improved from a polish-only standpoint. The function can stay. The function and scheduling and everything has been working out just great for me. But the price point of these pumps, guys, is, you know, as I've posted about many, many times and discussed in many, many videos, the price is stunning. I mean, it's just, for what you're getting, it is absolutely phenomenal. So, on any given random day, you could find, like, a DMP 10 for $85, and I'm just going off the top of my head here, but, like, a DMP 20 for $110, and a DMP 30 for, like, $135, and a DMP 40 for, like, $160, you know? I mean, they run deals all the time on AliExpress, and I really think that ordinary hobbyists would benefit and they would be able to do the hobby more effectively from a financial standpoint if they moved past the strange obstacle that is, like, buying something on AliExpress. There are so many people who are just like, unless it's on Amazon, I'm not buying it. And I'm like, I don't understand. I mean, maybe it's the ability to return it, but the way that I look at it is, like, you know, a Vortec MP40 is retailing at, like, $480, and a DMP40 is retailing at, like, $165. So, like, even if a unit was dead on arrival, and by the way, I've had many reports of AliExpress shops taking returns. So people have reached out to me and been like, hey, you know, whatever. I decided I needed a smaller pump, and I had to, you know, I had to send them a couple of messages and be like, I really do want to return this, but, you know, I got it returned. And I had a couple people who had random noisy pumps, and they also reported that AliExpress took returns. So, and it's not AliExpress. There's, like, a whole, just like Amazon, there's a whole bunch of sellers that operate under the AliExpress banner. So it depends on the seller, and that's why I would go with a seller that has a solid, like, 90% plus star rating, and also has the most number of pumps of Wavemakers sold. You can see how many they've sold, and I think that the one I commonly get them from is the quote-unquote fish head store. like a head shop, but like fish head store. So they have been prompt with their shipping. I've had no issues with my personal pumps that I have used. There have been a couple random noisy ones, and people do generally report that if they sized, this has been an interesting thing. If people sized up on these pumps thinking I'll ratchet them down in intensity and go a size larger than I think I need, it has followed in some instances where people have reached back out to me and been like, hey, I went with my instinct on this, which was to size up, and actually, even at its lowest intensity setting, this is kind of a lot of pump. And so I either returned it or I just bought, like, a size down, like a DMP 20 or 10 instead, you know, like, it, so it, what I would say is, you know how on Amazon it'll say, like, when you're looking at shoes, it'll say how many people reported that this size is true to their expectation. I would say that, like, whatever the exact gallon per hour, you know, intensity pump you want, don't size up from there. Get the actual gallon per hour intensity pump that you want when it comes to the DMP lineup. So, yeah, if you're looking for more content on those, I put out so many videos on them. I am almost tired of saying the word DMP, but the value is just so good that I don't know if I'll ever be fully tired of saying it. And then the DLW. So the DLW is a wire in the tank pump, Wavemaker from a JCOD. Those are, like, very close aesthetically to AI Nero pumps. And of course, far, far, far cheaper, right? Like, I think like $100 or less, maybe the most expensive in the lineup, which I think is like a DLW 30. There might be a 40, but I've had the 20 and the 30. And a DLW 30 might, maybe the high end retail is like 119, 109, somewhere in there. I've seen them go for 100. And then the DLW 20 is often under 100. So those have been lights out good for me. I have one that keeps things moving in my sump so that I don't get a bunch of like stagnated particulate buildup in the bottom of the sump. And I also had one where I needed, I was like, I ran Nero's before I ran the DMPs. And I was like, well, at some point I wanted another Nero and I just couldn't stomach the cost of a Nero 5 again. It's like $250. And then poking around, I'm like, hey, what's that pump I had in the sump? It looked, you know, quite similar. And sure enough, it was like, you know, I think for $85 or something like that, I got a DLW 20. And used it as like basically a fourth Nero to keep water moving down low in my display tank. And unless you're walking up and looking really close, you can't really tell the difference. And it uses the same control box and the same app as the DMP. So because it you get that uniformity of both experience and aesthetic with control boxes and stuff like that, it's that is if you're like a if you want DMPs on your display tank, but you want all your wave makers to be working out of the same app and you want some cheaper wire in tank options, the DLW series is such a good value, and they're rock solid. I have not had a DLW fail. I did back in the day, it's like 2 years ago, have an SLW fail. That was like you had to physically control the pump from the control box. There was no app. But the DLW is like the update, I feel like, to the SLW, where you get like the controllability with the app and the aesthetics are cleaner. So yeah, I highly recommend the DLW as a supplemental pump to the DMP. Or if you don't like a wart hanging off the outside of your tank, because I won't lie to you, it's not my favorite thing. Like, the benefits of having these DMPs ended up out, like being able to like whip off the wet side and clean it and stuff like that. The benefit eventually for me outweighed the aesthetic ugliness, in my opinion, of having a wart hanging off the side of your tank in the form of the dry side for the DMP. If you can't get past the wart, which I totally understand because it is not my favorite thing, then the DLWs, you could totally outfit your tank in DLWs. And they have a nice broad flow pattern compared to the DMP's relatively narrow flow pattern. So especially for like a softy or an LPS tank, oh man, the DLWs are totally right in that value sweet spot for capability. So yeah, really quite impressed with those entries from JBow/JCod. So let's move on to number three. So number three on this list. For number three, we're gonna get into territory where you guys may have heard me mention this stuff in passing, or make a quick post about it or whatever. But I'll elaborate on some things that, like I went digging for, you know, I went and looked at all my tanks over the last couple days and really thought about the different things that I have installed on them, and some things stood out to me that if I hadn't gone and looked at the tanks, I probably wouldn't have even remembered. So here's one for you. The Auto Aqua, that's the company, Auto Aqua, ATO Light. So I think that other companies have either ripped this off or they're subsidiaries of Auto Aqua and they're just making it under different names. MagTool stands out. They make one that is like a dead copy. But if you go on AliExpress and you type in like, you know, Auto Aqua ATO or ATO Light, you'll get what comes up is this. It's a little optical sensor and connected to a wire that leads to this tiny little like control hub, I guess. And the control hub has one wire coming out of it that you plug into the wall, has one wire going to that sensor I mentioned, the optical sensor. And the obstacle sensor has a little fail-safe on it where if the water line goes up to a certain point, it'll recognize it and cut off the flow. And then there's a third wire that goes to the little tiny, like, it's the equivalent of, like, a Ceche. I think they have a pump called the Micra Mouse or something. It's, like, it's incredibly tiny little powerful but small little pump. Just meant for moving water a few feet. So I have an Auto Aqua ATO light, this exact setup. And, of course, there's a tube, like a 3/8-inch tube that comes with it, like 4 feet of it. And I have it run to the preschool tank I take care of. I have one on my nano tank that's currently doing nothing, where I had so much bubble algae I had to remove the rock and set it out in the sun. I still haven't gotten around to repopulating that tank yet. I'm still pulling little bits of bubble algae out. And then my primary nano system, I also have it on that. I have a Toons old school osmolator on the main reef system, for whatever it's worth. But everything else, I've got these Auto Aqua ATO lights. And by the way, I also use these on my little quote-unquote Kalkamazoo reactor that I use for Kalkwasser. So my little DIY reactor that I do with the now it's an Aqua Ready cylinder, or dosing cylinder, and a magnetic stir plate. I have videos out on all of how to create this reactor. I use this little Auto Aqua ATO light as a way to refill the reactor. So the way that I do my reactor is that it periodically refills and stirs, and then a continuous dosing pump doses out of it, 24/7. And I love this method because I don't have room in my sump to put a standard like a Vast Marine Kalk reactor where the RODI comes into it and it overflows saturated Kalk solution into the tank water. So it's like my way is never going to be like maximum Kalk utilization. My way will probably always require a little bit of two-part to boost the numbers. But I would say 85% plus of my dosing comes out of that Kalk reactor, and the way that it's refilled is with an Auto Aqua ATO light. And people on those videos I posted about how to create the reactor were often concerned about the optical sensor. And I told them, I just scrape it with my thumbnail every week. There's hardly any buildup, but I scrape it and it has worked since I installed it. I mean, I don't think I've ever had one of these Auto Aqua ATO light pumps fail. I bought them. They're on AliExpress. They are $40 or $50. And then on Amazon, they're like $69.99. So I went Ali E, of course, saved $20. And I have not had one fail, but I do have a I'm curious to see how the MagTool one stands up, because I did buy an extra in the case that any of the current ones I run fail. And the extra I bought, I was like, well, let's see how the MagTool one is. So it's like the same exact thing, just a different brand. So I'm sure it'll be fine. But there's multiple options, different companies you can get this from. I just went with the Auto Aqua because that was the first company that did this little single, with a fail-safe optical eye type ATO. So really, 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 really good value. And I'm pretty sure you could use it for any size system. Like if I put this on my main system, I mean, the little pump would work more when it had to refill because it's just putting more volume water in whenever a refill is necessary. But ultimately, none of these pumps have failed. I've had some of them running for years. So I'm not really worried about, pump failure on these things. And I would recommend them for sure. All right. Number four. This is kind of a multiple products in one thing deal, but the Fluval Evo 13.5 gallon C. So it's called the Fluval Evo C 13.5 gallon kit. And so this is my smallest nano tank, the one that's awaiting reboot. They're actually both awaiting reboot. I'm dragging my feet on these real bad. I got to get going on them. But the Fluval Evo 13.5 was the first reef tank that I ever had and was serious with. So when I had tried reef keeping for a hot minute, for like 1 month grand total, and decided that it was a fool's errand and there was no way that this was possible except for like the greatest minds on earth, because I failed so spectacularly at it, and I just gave up for several years. And then during, so what was it? It was before COVID. My kid really wanted an aquarium. She was little at the time, and I was like, all right. And I got her a freshwater tank, and then I was like, man, quite frankly, this is really boring to me. So if I'm going to be invested in this freshwater tank, if I'm going to keep up maintaining it, I need something else right next to it that I'm going to be coming over here all the time so that I take care of them both properly. And so I got this little 13.5-gallon saltwater kit. And oh boy, did it grow out of control quickly. Like 1 year later, I'm like, that escalated quickly. So, yeah, the 13.5-gallon kit. Oh, man. Let me look up the price on this thing real quick. It's, of course, a lot more than it was when I first bought it. So let's see. Fluval Evo C 13.5 is... They have a 5-gallon kit for $139. That's interesting to me. I'm sure that would be halfway decent. Okay, here's Fluval Evo. So like $200 is what I'm seeing for the... $200, $199 at Petco. Yeah, 13.5 gallons. So it's an all-in-one, of course. What's cool about it is that it comes with a lid that is going to prevent almost all evaporation from occurring. And it comes with a light that is built into the inside of the lid. And the light is good for like easier LPS and softies, I would say. That's probably what it's best for. But what was cool about this light is that the light is very much like the aesthetic appearance that I run on my main reef system now. So when I think back real hard about it, and when I fell in love with having like a brighter tank, a more daylight spectrum tank, it happened because I loved the look that Fluval Evo 13.5 gallon gave off with its stock light that comes with it. I think it's a stunning, brilliant little gem of a tank when you light it up with the light that comes with the kit. It also comes with just a run-of-the-mill, totally fine for a starter, Fluval pump, so that you can keep the water cruising through the little filter chambers. And I think you have to buy your own heater, but you're $15 for, you know, whatever the cheapest Eheim heater that'll heat 20 gallons of water is. I mean, that's what you're looking at. So, I mean, and then of course, rock substrate and a couple of clownfish and a couple of soft corals. I mean, it's hard to beat. Like, I may reboot that whole system now that I think about it and like go step by step. I think I've lost the hood. I'd have to probably source a new hood for it. But I'll consider rebooting that system from the ground up and just showing the cost as I go so that people can see just how dead functional and cheap this hobby can really be if you want a little gem of a slice of reef in your home with a little 13.5-gallon Peninsula tank. I mean, you can really have that for under $500 and do some pretty cool stuff in the process, and even give yourself some fail safe like in the process. So yeah, I'll consider that as a project for like over the summer or something. That would be pretty cool. You guys let me know if you think that sounds pretty neat. Okay. Number five, ABC reagents. Probably haven't heard about that in a while. It's funny, like ABC reagents is such a critically important thing to exist for, like, the ecosystem of people who use auto testers in the hobby, especially the Trident, which is what I use them with. And it was funny, like, after they came on the scene and came into existence, it was the, you know, like, everybody talked about it for a hot minute, but then it kind of just, like, the talk about ABC reagents just sort of died out, because honestly, it's like there's not much more to say. Like, what it is perfect reagent to utilize with your auto tester that is half the industry cost of, like, you know, whatever, like, quote unquote, true reagent. Half the cost. I mean, it's $60 for me to get $6 months of reagent for my Trident when I buy it from ABC Reagents. And they come in, you know, properly labeled bottles. Everything works every time. I've ordered them again and again and again and again. And I had it argued to me once that, like, you know, whatever, Neptune developed the Trident and, you know, it's a lot of work and blah, blah, blah. And it, you know, the reagent cost is in the grand scope of reef keeping, what you're paying extra to pay, you know, Neptune their due for the cost of these reagents is not that much. And I look at it and I'm like, okay, now where I'm at in reef keeping and, like, just where I am in the hobby and how much I spend on the hobby, no, it's not that much. That's true. But that's me. That's just me. For a lot of other people, it is a lot of money. It is a lot of money to have to sink the cost of the original reagents into your reef budget every single year, twice a year, to get 2 6-month kits. And by the way, there was a time not that long ago where, like, that was a steep cost for me, a steep cost for me. So ABC Reagents, I hope, I don't know what their status is right now other than active. Like, they just, every time I order them, you know, within a day or two, they're on the way. They arrive promptly, all safely packaged up real nice in a form-fitting box. And they work every single time, lights out. And so, like, I'm guessing they're stable. And it's just, like, because they don't really, like, use an army of influencers to push their product or anything like that, it's like, because I'm not hearing about them from influencers in reef socials, I almost am, like, worried. But then I think to myself and I'm like, no, they're just quietly doing something good. They're just quietly providing a great service to budget reefers in this hobby who happen to have auto testers. So I highly recommend ABC Reagents, and I highly recommend buying it from ABC Reagents themselves on their website. That's what I do. It's what I've done from the beginning. I don't know who all they work with, but I would buy them straight off the site itself and get them. So yeah, that has been – it's a tremendous money saver. And it's, again, it's one of those things where, like, when I do the calculus of who do I feel is deserving of my money, my dollars, where do I want to direct these dollars? You know, unfortunately, you know, Neptune's not the same Neptune that they were. I'm not saying they're bad. I really, quite frankly, like my Neptune system. I like my Neptune products. I found them to be fairly reliable. But due to just, I won't get into it all, I'll rant forever, but due to industry politics and stuff like that, I choose to send my dollars elsewhere because I have the option to do it. So yeah, ABC Reagents, I'm extremely grateful that they exist. Really, really good product. Number six, this is one of my more popular videos last year. My review of this product, or my initial review. So this can be, like, you know, part of my long-term review here. The Bubble Magus Mini Q. Mini, like, minuscule mini Q, like the letter that begins the word quail. Bubble Magus Mini Q Nano Skimmer. Really incredibly solid. I had been on a quest for many years to get a nano skimmer for my 25 gallon Innovative Marine Lagoon tank that I felt was legitimately solid. And I had gone through like an Ice Cap K1. I did a homemade skimmer. I did some skimmer from IOAOI. I always struggle with that name. It's like some off-brand, generic brand on Amazon. I had many different things. At least four other things that I have tried. And I did a Tunzi skimmer one time on there. And the magnet wasn't strong enough to hold it in place. And just like, it was horrible. And eventually, I found the Mini Q. They came out with it. And I remember, you know, catching a press release about it or something. And I was like, man, you know, I ran at the time a Bubble Magus on my main system, and it was really solid. And I was like, I wonder if they did it. Like, are they the first ones to finally do like a super small chamber skimmer the right way? And sure enough, they were. So I highly recommend that skimmer. The only drawback of that nano skimmer, in my opinion, there's, I guess, two. One, of course, the cup's not going to be very big, right? So the cup is not real, real big on it. So you do have to empty it out every few days, probably a couple times a week. The other thing is that there is no like airline that hangs on the exterior of it. I don't really know where it takes in air, but there is nowhere where like if I wanted to do a CO2 scrubber that I connected to it, there's nowhere I could do that. It's all handled internally in it or whatever. You know, they had to make it super compact. So I'm sure features fell off the board left and right. But regardless, it operates rock solid. I've cleaned it one time because the water level fell like half a centimeter and I could tell it wasn't skimming as much and I hadn't messed with it. And so I scrubbed out the inside and it was right back up to where it should be. So it's like a, you know, once or twice a year, you gotta take a scrub brush to it, kind of reef toy. And it is... So on AliExpress, I think it's like $45. I think Bulk Reef Supply sells it for like $60. I would get it from AliExpress for how little it is. Like if you somehow like dropped it and broke it or something while you're cleaning it, it's $45. It's not going to kill you. Save the money. And yeah, I've been extremely, extremely impressed by just how like consistent it is. That's the biggest problem with so many nano skimmers is day-to-day consistency. Like you're always fiddling with them and trying to position them properly and trying to get the bubble level where it should be and just all this mucking around. And there is no mucking around with this. It is just solid. So yeah, highly recommend it. It is not dead silent, but it's just kind of a subdued like white noise sound that comes out of it unless you get up real, real close to it. So yeah, good skimmer for sure. Hats off to Bubble Magus on that one. They make a solid, affordable product, by the way. There are others. They're like full size skimmers. I totally recommend those too. I've ran one for the first 2 years of my main system, and I mean, besides having to clean that one out, I think they're full size skimmers. It's probably safe to say they need to be cleaned out more than heavier duty, more premium skimmers. And that did eventually get annoying for me, and so I did upgrade my skimmer on my main tank. But regardless, for the value, for budget, affordable gear, to give people better access to this hobby, Bubble Magus is a solid route for sure when it comes to getting a skimmer on your tank at the very least. And I know they do a bunch of other products now too. I'd like to try some of their other products at some point. I probably will. So, okay, number 7. 3D printed DMP accessories, specifically the DMP guards from Unreef, which is, I think it's unreef.com, and also from Turbulent Flow Designs. So that's Chris Clevin's shop. He's on Etsy, and then what is it? Is it clev.ca. I don't want to mess up his website name. I think if you go on Etsy, you can find his website is listed in there. So these DMP guards that I have acquired and tried, they're different. So like the Unreef version is a very straightforward, like when it comes to, it's funny, when it comes to 3D printed accessories, I feel like there's two camps of people. There are people who just want to get a thing to do a thing. Like, I need this to work. I need it to work just like dead simple every time. Like, snap it on and go. And then there are people who are like, how can I improve the feature set of my product and make my product do more things because I bought a 3D printed part for it? So, or a 3D printed product, rather. So, the Unreef version, totally workable. Tried it on three different sizes of the DMP. They all worked great. It is like basically like, it's like perforations in like a grid pattern that goes all the way around the like surround of the 3D printed guard. And then a super, super strong like spindle structure or whatever, or like wagon wheel spoke structure that goes over the front of it where the water actually exits the wet side. So this is probably, I mean, like if you're looking for the toughest and most straightforward use DMP guard, that's your route. Very affordable as well. So you take a step up in price for Clevin's work. So Chris Clevin has designed a DMP guard that it has removable components to it. So like you might sacrifice, I don't know, like, you know, 10 or 15% in like strength when compared to like a whole like carved out of a one piece of plastic type deal, like the Unreef version. But Clevin's version gives you the ability to add features. So like, it comes with four different flow adjustment attachments that comprise that like wagon wheel like spoke system that goes on the front of a guard that the water passes through. So you can actually pop out that little wagon wheel and put in a different one that changes the flow pattern. So you can do a narrow flow pattern that like keeps the original intent of the DMP, that narrow band that comes out of it. You can widen it like a little bit, like, you know, 20% wider. And then you just ratchet it up until you get to like a hyper wide cone of flow with the fourth and final attachment. So that is pretty cool. If you're looking to add features, you pay a touch more for that. But I feel like there is, for the prices that he charges, there's tremendous value to be had there. Tremendous value, because you're getting multiple features that you can choose from and actively swap between whenever you want to by purchasing that. So, yeah, the 3D printing community in reef keeping just gets stronger and stronger. I'm super impressed by so much of what I see out there and so much of what I'm talk to people about that's in development and being prototyped. And I think it's really cool. So yeah, that's a solid number seven, those DMP guards. Number eight, people will laugh. Salifert test kits. Is Salifert? I say Salifert. Salifert test kits. I still use Salifert test kits. So you have to calibrate your Trident auto tester when you start like a new batch of reagents, like you replace all three at once. Ideally, you want to double check and make sure that your Trident is staying, you know, close to the actual parameters and it's calibrating itself on the actual parameters of your tank. So I test my water with a Salifert alkalinity, calcium, and magnesium test. And I do that as like a baseline, like every time. Even though I have a Hanna alkalinity checker, I'm like, I'm going to do three Salifert tests every time I have to replace all three reagents in this Neptune Trident. So I know I'm doing the same thing every time, the most consistency possible. And I find them to be easy to use. They're incredibly cost effective, like $15 or less for like, I don't know, 50 tests worth, 75 tests worth, something crazy. I've had these test kits forever. Frankly, I probably don't use them enough. I should probably replace them because I'm now worried as I talk about this that they may have expired and I'm just using expired test kits. I don't know if that actually, you know, how much that matters. I assume it does, but yeah, I mean, if you're not an auto tester person, which I actually really like having an auto tester, it makes me feel good. I don't trust it to auto dose for me anymore. I used to. I don't trust that anymore. I didn't have a bad experience or anything. It's just as I have aged into reef keeping, there are certain things that I want to control with precision, and the actual dosing amount is one of those things. So I've gone away from letting the Trident actually dole out the dosing. But I'm telling you guys, like, Salifert test kits, if you're not going to go the auto tester route, hard to find better value and better consistency than those. And once you do them a couple times, once you go through the process a couple times, you've got it down pat from there. You're going to be able to do that process without looking at the instructions every time. After you go through it a couple of times, you're not going to forget it. So, yeah, highly recommend. That's a quick one, but, of all the things that I use, it's one of the, again, it's this list is about value. It's one of the better values of all the products that I use on a regular basis. So number nine is another, that's just a funny thing. And it probably won't take very long to cover it. Filter socks, like good old fashioned filter socks. So I do not have room in my sump for a filter roller. I just don't have it. Even the mini ones, I just don't have it. The sump on my system, the Waterbox 4820 Marine X or whatever it's called, is just, I have the old model. I think the new model, on the new model, the sump is bigger. The stand is, I think, a lot worse. I put together one of those new Waterbox stands. That aluminum is pretty spindly. It's actually, I'm concerned about that for like newer Waterbox owners, but I had the old like MDF board, you know, laminated board stand, real tough, and it's got like a separate gear cabinet and then a tiny little sump. So I cannot fit a filter roller in there. I am also kind of opposed to signing up for one more gosh darn subscription in my life. I mean, I feel like I sign up for a new one every month, and if I can avoid one more subscription for like something like filter roll for my reef tank, please, like, I will take the opportunity to not have another subscription. I know they're not that costly. I know that. I know you can wash them out and rewind them. I know that. I don't want to do that, and I don't want to pay for it. So I did have for a while those Rocky Mountain fish filter cartridges that have like the stacked discs inside them that catch detritus. One, my ORP and therefore my DOC was suffering during that time. I can't pinpoint it on those, but I feel like there is some smaller particulate matter that definitely is making it through there. More small particulate matter than is making it through my filter socks, which are 225 micron, I want to say. And also, I found that those clogged quickly. After a while, they build up like a layer of film in between the rings. And unless you're going to individually wash like every single one of 500 rings, you're going to, in like one day, my rings were getting clogged. So I couldn't go on that way. So I eventually just conceded that I'm going back to filter socks after looking and looking and looking for like something that I could like get away from filter socks with, because I really wanted to get away from them. I was convinced in the beginning that filter socks were all this work and, you know, they're annoying and they're stinky. And like, you know, I just don't want to do filter socks. And I looked and looked and looked for some kind of filter roller, at the very start before deciding. I didn't really want the subscription plan deal. And I went back to good old Waterbox filter socks, the ones that are made for my system. Those are not like an awesome value, but they do fit my system really snug. So I just went with them again. I'd recommend getting like, you know, whatever your preferred micron filter sock is from like Amazon, where you can get like an 8-pack for so cheap. But I just, once I settled with the idea of this is my best option, I kind of like fell back in love with filter socks because my ORP went back up, got way better. My ORP went back up, meaning my DOC got way better. And also I just fell into a rhythm with it where, like, you know, I have the same 2 days a week that I pull the filter socks out, the dirty ones, throw them in the washing machine with a cup of bleach, and I just, you know, wash it on like an intense load with warm water. And then let them dry on top of the dryer for a couple days. That neutralizes bleach, is my understanding. If you let them completely dry out, whatever residual bleach is left is going to completely, you know, dissipate whatever effect it would have. And then I just rotate that set, the now clean set, back in, you know, two or three days later when my day comes to switch them out. And it's just been incredibly easy. So, yeah, I'm sticking with it. I'm super happy after coming back to filter socks and better understanding their value. So, anybody who wants to avoid the subscription plan or avoid the major expense that is, like, alternative products, like those Rocky Mountain fish filters are kind of expensive. And also the filter rollers are pretty expensive. If you want to avoid that, good old filter socks are good old filter socks. They work. So, and then last but not least, number 10, the Kamower. I say Kamower. You say Kamower. I don't know. Kamower. It's some Chinese company that does dosing pumps. This dosing pump is the Kamower X1 Pro 2 doser. So why I like the X1 Pro 2, and this is not like a continuous duty doser or anything. It's like a $50 doser that you can get on AliExpress. Again, you're probably going to buy it more expensive from American sources. There are American sources that sell the X1 Pro 2, but I would get it on AliExpress. It came in perfect condition. I bought two of them on AliExpress now. I have one on each nano tank. So I'm dosing both nano tanks with a grand total of $100 worth of dosing product. And you have Bluetooth connectivity to control it. It's at least Bluetooth. It might actually be Wi-Fi. Anyway, the dosing app works great. It works great. Super clean interface. Totally understand what I need to do with it. Some of the English words are a little jumbled, like, you know, they just like missed a couple of touches here and there with the translation, but it doesn't matter. It works. I've never had it have an error. To have a connected doser that you can program on a schedule that's going to intermittently dose for you. And again, I have spare heads and I've never had to replace them. I have spare tubes and I've never had to replace them. It's real easy on the heads and tubes. The function of it is just easy on those components. Again, highly recommend. Like, there's these little, that was another one where, like, it's these little products that, like, they just kind of fade into the background. But it's like, when I took a look at my systems, I'm going, I have two tanks that I'm covering my dosing for these two tanks that's required to keep coral alive for $100 grand total. Two $50 pumps, dosing pumps, pretty difficult to beat, right? So, these thoughts, now I understand this episode, this list is really the long and the short of it is just to take stock of some of the best value products I have encountered so far and just talk about them and kick off my year of access and affordability and alternative option awareness. This is really the kickoff to this entire arc that is going to be this year for me. And it was enjoyable to just like make this list and go through and kind of nerd out and talk about every single one of these. That was the whole goal of this. And by the way, this will be a shorter episode. I don't have that much more to say. I wanted to kind of just make my way through my list and just kind of get back into the swing of things with the podcast. But as I mentioned throughout the list, stuff like the notion of spending part of my summer rebooting that Fluval Evo, and showing how much cost you can expect at with every kind of addition or thing that you do to it as you build it out. Stuff like that, I'm really, really excited for this year. Really excited for. I have budget lights coming out the wazoo. I have a new light on the way. I have one that just arrived that I have to shoot unboxing video for. I have one that I already shot unboxing video for and then sent out for spectrum testing to a friend. So I got to get that data back whenever he has time to get around to it. I have so much budget gear exploration in general to get into. And I'm already at a point where I'm like, I have a list generated for budget gear that I'm targeting, that I'm going to explore in depth. I'm already beginning to slowly acquire it. And I'm just like, I got to find time to do all this because I have seen a hunger for this. I have seen that my budget gear videos that I put out, it's funny, when I first started on YouTube, like a year ago, like earnestly started on YouTube, you know, a year or more ago, the more budget stuff, I wasn't seeing that much interest. But now, when I talk about budget gear, I have major views going on, and I feel like it is because there's been a shift. I think that either there's been a shift or a shift is occurring where, you know, economically, as we all know, like even though the economy, quote unquote, might be red hot, the only people who are benefiting from that are the super wealthy and the people who have enough money to be shareholders. The rest of us normal folk, the other whatever 75% of the country, we're hurting, man. And we need a way to do the things we love affordably. And so I am going to make it a mission to add value to the conversation of how we can increase access, affordability, and the knowledge about the awareness of these alternative options in reef keeping, so that the hobby doesn't shrink and begin to fragment apart, so that it can actually be here in 10 years in a significant way, comparable to the way it is now. I think we're kind of sliding into a point of danger where the powers that be in the reef industry have, like, in their never-ending chase for higher profits, the powers that be in the reef keeping industry have pushed the cost of buying reef gear to a point where the hobby, people from the outside who want to join the hobby, look at it and go, that's too expensive. And people who are in the hobby, all it takes is one significant failure event, and they're, or just like they look at their budget sheet one month and they're in the negative and they go, I can't be part of this anymore, not for this cost. And so when I hear, like, again, powerful entities in the reef keeping industry that are businesses or tied to businesses talking about, oh, the economy's, you know, what's making the, you know, it's the reef keeping's constricting right now. You know, we're shrinking. We need to find a way to grow the hobby. I always kind of sit there and look at that and shake my head, because there's a pretty easy way to grow the hobby. And that is for those powerful people who control these companies and make insane cash on the backs of all us normal reef keepers who buy their products. They could just give a little something back and maybe sacrifice a few percent out of their own pocket to make sure that people are not completely driven out, or prospective people driven away. And that problem, the microcosm of that problem that is occurring in reef keeping, all you have to do is look out across society in America and you see that problem playing out everywhere across the board, whether it's housing or a new Ford F-150, doesn't matter. A restaurant that used to be, you know, you could eat there for, you could eat a full meal for $20 there, and now you can't walk out the door without having spent $65. Like, everywhere you look, there is this refusal by the powerful class of wealth to give one single inch. And meanwhile, they're the ones not paying people anymore so that those people can go out and stimulate the economy in the first place, because they won't give an inch, not on the products being made and sold, and not to their own workforce to make sure people are paid fairly. And they sit there and bemoan how growth is, it's struggling. Where are the people? It's amazing to me, guys. It's written on the wall right in front of them, and it has been for some time. So until those people with that power and influence start making the right decision and not defaulting to their darker angels and their greed at every turn, I am going to try to shed a little bit of light on what can keep us all in this game. And that's going to be my mission this year. So I appreciate all of you who still follow my platform, and anybody new who's joined on through my recent coverage of products. It means a lot to me. And I love this hobby. I love being part of this hobby, and I want it to be better. I want people to reef their own way and find the best way for them to do this great endeavor, because I really think that all of us doing this together means something. All right, folks, have a good one.